turn you over to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter number 29. I want you to see verse number 10. We'll go at 10 and read down through about verse 14. It's good to be here. It's good to see this crowd. Well, I'm glad you can have church when church wants to be church. Amen. Bible said, "For thus saith the Lord," you with me? Jeremiah 29:11, 10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, Babylon I will visit you," hallelujah, "and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Well, you can be seated. I want to preach from this passage for a few minutes. I'm going to give you some background. I think my introduction is bigger than my sermon. So if you'll just bear with me. I taught the Bible through about 5 or 6 times in 20-some years, and when God got a hold of me, I wasn't right with God. I went to church with a chip on my shoulder, God took the chip off my shoulder. I don't know where He did it that day or what day, but I found myself at home again, where I ought to be. And the first thing I did was I wanted to know if the Bible was right. I wanted to know if the Bible was right. I didn't have anybody to say it was right. But I just want to know if it's right. So I asked my pastor, I said, "You got any books that has Genesis 6:2 and 3 in it?" And he said, "Well, the only thing I have," he said, "that's Hebrew." I didn't know anything about that, Hebrew or Greek. He said, "The only thing I have is a grammar for Hebrew, for the Hebrew." I said, "Can I borrow it?" He said, "Yes." So I took that little grammar and the concordance or the dictionary in the back of it, and I didn't know that Hebrew was written from right to left. I looked up the words, and my spirit will not always strive with man. I want to know if it really meant that. And it took forever, because I thought you had to look up the word from left to right. So I looked it up from the wrong end. But I did find it. And I found out it meant exactly what it said. And I was studying a King James Bible and didn't even know that. I didn't understand none of that. And so I began right there. I've got a young boy that preached in the church, our church at home. And he said, "Brother Wayne, you got any advice for me?" I said, "I can just tell you what I did." "What'd you do?" "I started out studying them words. I want to know what that book says. I want to know what it says." And then by long series of growth processes, I came to be just what I am today, and I may not be done. But I believe that Bible more than you do. I'm telling you today, that Bible is not just another book. We've probably done it a lot of disservice by taking it off of those rolls and putting it in a book form. We might have left it in them rolls. We probably should have done that and not called it a book. Because that Bible is so majestic. It's got more to say than you read. It's deeper than you ever thought. I thought a while ago, said here on the front, I thought, you know, when this girl broke that alabaster box this morning I talk about, there had to come a day when that alabaster box said to her, "I'm not taking care of what you need. What's in here, your devotion in this alabaster box, ain't really going to take care of you. You're going to have to find something to break this box on, break it and pour that devotion you have on something bigger than what you have. So her lifestyle didn't fulfill her life. And I thought about it. It troubled that girl. She came to a storm in her life. If you don't get out of a storm in your life, you ain't never going nowhere. That may be bad English, but it's good doctrine, buddy. Hard times. Trees don't grow growth rings by easy environments. We had oak trees on the hill behind my house, way up high. They never got hardly higher than that roof, but it'd take a tornado to blow one over. They're built deep. They grew deep. They got no water. They had to hunt for water, and they grew down, and they made their roots deep. But they had a hold of something. They just didn't blow around with every wind of doctrine. You understand me? And so in the early days, I started studying this Bible. And if God is God, listen, He's not a joke. If God is God, you are messing with serious stuff in this building tonight. Some of you sitting here lost, you are playing Russian roulette with a loaded cylinder. I'm telling you, you're playing a bad game. You can say, I wish I had all you want to, but it'll never bring back the days you didn't take advantage when you could have. I preached a message one time, what if you call that rich man out of hell, let him testify. He could out-preach anybody I know. He's probably just about as good as Jesus. But he could burn her down. You talk about telling you some stuff, that rich man would tell it, but he is never going to get a shot at you. Never going to. He's telling you, he's telling me tonight to preach so you won't come there. Ain't that something? That's a big deal. And so I studied my Bible, and I became serious, and I didn't understand the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the first day I went back to church, a man said something that would have offended just about anybody. I started to get out of my chair. I mean, I ain't bad, but I'm telling you, ain't nobody going to run over me. And if you do, it's still going to have to be done. I'm a hillbilly. You ain't whipped a hillbilly till you bury him, and then you got to kill his family. And I started out of my seat, and there was a voice in my heart said, did you come for him or me? And I did not know it was God trying to speak to me. I had all these years to learn that the still small voice is a dynamic and a divine voice. Amen. And so I had a lot of learning to do. King James Bible, my Bible that I studied in Bible college was American Standard Version. And terrible, terrible. I didn't know. We studied it anyway. But they told me the Bible was the Word of God. They didn't tell me which one. They didn't want to enter that argument. We'll leave that alone. They did. But as time went on, the Holy Ghost said in my heart, you're going to answer for what you tell people. I said, if I'm going to answer for what I tell them, I better make sure I tell them right. Ain't that right? This soul winning outfit, this door knocking screen door evangelism, you listen to me, buddy. When you look at a bunch of people going to hell because you didn't tell them all of it, it's going to be a bad day for you. You take these preachers that are making these big turnovers and seeing tons of people saved, and I'm not against that. I'm for that. But if they're not getting saved, it's going to be a sad day at the judgment, buddy. When a man stands at the judgment seat and watch 80% of his congregation go to hell crying, did not we, did not we, did not we, and he'll say, I thought I told him right. I'd hate to stand there, George. I know some men are going to stand there. There was a day when I would have been standing there. Will anyway over things. But I'm glad tonight I'm not ignorant about what gets a man saved. If you get to run the end of yourself and you get sick of what you are, you get sick enough, God will be happy to save you. You won't have to pray an hour and a half. If you get sick enough, you can get saved in 30 seconds. You don't get saved without saying a word. You can't get saved not and be ashamed, though. Amen. So I said, I guess that's just a bunch of preliminary right there. That's a juice. When you bite an apple, if it's juicy, I guess it runs down your chin. But I said all that to say this. What I'm going to say to you is the introduction tonight. You'll just almost have to take my word for it unless you're a student of the Bible. This is Jeremiah speaking. Jeremiah was Josiah. Oh, man, I'm going to start this. Y'all know Josiah was the best king in my mind that Israel had, Judah had. But Josiah got killed by Pharaoh Necho because he did get out of God's will right there. But Josiah's preacher was Jeremiah. And Josiah probably had his salvation hooked to Jeremiah. And while Jeremiah was alive, Israel, Judah, went into captivity Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar come and got them, carried them 600-800 miles away and put them in captivity. Took them away from their temple and their city. Took them away from their land and everything. Now, you don't know this, but you please understand me. I'm not preaching. This is not preaching. This is teaching for a minute. But in 606, Nebuchadnezzar had already hit Assyria. You know Syria is the one that came up against Hezekiah and said, we're going to clean you out. No God's ever been able to stand before us. And Hezekiah told Isaiah, and then he finally got tore up about it. He went himself before the God said, read this letter he wrote. And God said, he ain't going to make it. 185,000 of their troops lay dead the next morning because God's word's always right. And so Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, and Assyria was Sennacherib, and that's the guy that came against Hezekiah. So I'm sorry if this is boring you. I don't want it to be. But Nebuchadnezzar's daddy was Nabonidus, and Nabonidus was a tremendous king. And he was the son of that man. Nebuchadnezzar was his general. He took the armies and fought. Well, Assyria tried to come back. And they came back way up north of Assyria, not Assyria, but Syria, at a place called Carchemish. And they got some help. And Pharaoh Necho was going to come and help. That's how all this happened. And they're going to meet at Carchemish, and they're going to whip Nebuchadnezzar, this guy right here that's got him in captivity. They're going to whip him. And when they got there, they couldn't whip him. Nebuchadnezzar he burned her hide. And he started after Necho. Necho run back down toward Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar comes down, and right at the time he comes about even with Jerusalem, he gets news that his daddy's kicked a bucket. Now, listen to me. You ain't taking no small junk. No telephone, no letters. There was no way of electronically of telling him his daddy's dead. How long was he dead? I don't know. But it took 800-mile trip to tell him that. So what he did was, J.D., he ran to Jerusalem. He grabbed some of those young men that were part of the royal line, among which was Daniel. One of them. Several of them. Carried them to Babylon. Established the kingdom and came right straight back over there and went after the Pharaoh. I hope I'm not boring you. Went after Pharaoh. When he got done with Pharaoh, he went on back and he come back a second time in 597 and he got Ezekiel that time. Carried him captive. And then the last time the king of Judah bucked against him and he went back in 586 and he cleaned the house. Carried the loads, he carried all out. Carried the gold, silver, destroyed the temple and everything. Now, these people are in Babylon. And here's what happened. He took the best of the land to captivity. He took the very best. And he left the poor. And the poor said, we must have been right with God. Because he didn't bother us. And those rich folks had gone over there and they lost everything they had. And they were down. And Ezekiel's trying to lift them up. And so this chapter comes into play right here. Those poor people took those other people's land. And they just thought they had it made. And here's what this chapter is telling you. This chapter is saying, all shadows in God's kingdom are divine shadows. They're under the shadow of the captivity. And they feel horrible. You ever felt horrible? You felt like your family turned on you? You felt like your best friend quit you. You ever had, you had trouble you couldn't hardly tell nobody? Now that's the way they felt. They're in captivity. And God said, here's why I put you there. I want to preach on somewhere in the shadows you'll find him standing. Here's why I put you in captivity, George. Here's what he said. Brother Ken, he said, your worship was bad in that temple. You thought I was so attached to that temple you could do anything ethically, morally, or anyway and get by with it, and I wasn't going to turn my back on you. But he said, I took you away from that temple to let you know I don't live in a box. Amen. I took you away from that Baal worship and all that foreign stuff and that bad altars and bad sacrifice. I took you away from that so that you could have a brand new relationship with me without that temple and without that wicked worship, and you could do it in a heathen land. When I get done with you, the temple won't be, the temple's not going to be your God. I will be your God. That's what I just read you. And so I read from that, and I take from that. If you'll please, don't be, I hope you're not bored. Goodness. But I'm going to tell you, that happens to you. You go into captivity just like they did. When your worship gets cockeyed, God will put you in a, He'll put you in a shadow as sure as He did them. You'll think you can't find God. You'll think God's gone. I preached a message over there. There's a verse in that thing that said, I'll be to you a little sanctuary over there. But you can get to God anywhere. He will be a sanctuary to you. Amen. And listen, you understand that it's not in a building. It's not in your priest. It's not. It's in God. You can get in there and find this sanctuary. Amen. And so I want to preach a minute. Not very long. On somewhere in them shadows, you'll find him standing. And my first thought tonight is that the shadows do not eliminate God. I don't care how you look at it. Now, we're not talking about the lost world. We're talking about God's children. We're talking about that lady that broke that alabaster box. She came to a dark day. There come a day when she said, this is not working. I'm not getting out of here what I hope to get out of here. All that glitters is not gold. I've got everything except what I really want. I've got all the guns, all the cars, all the houses, all the land. I've got all the jewelry, all the clothes. But my heart's not happy, and I need something better. And she broke that alabaster box, buddy. And the day she broke it and poured that oil, she didn't save a little bit. She poured it all on him. And when you pour it all on him, amen, you're going to find out now that the shadows don't eliminate God. As a matter of fact, the shadows don't only not eliminate God, but the shadows are, and they go deeper. I'm gonna get ahead of myself, but eventually the Bible said in 1 Kings that God dwelleth in the thick darkness. Amen. That's what Ralph Sr. preached on. Why God said He dwells in the thick darkness. Now these shadows deepen, and you'll say, I can't take no more. And the power of the shadow get over you. But it's a divine shadow. It's a heaven-sent shadow. Oh, it's got a divine work in it, Ted. I mean, I don't care if you had that stroke. I'll tell you what they told me at Atlanta. They said, you got a bad case of cancer. What are you going to do about it? Brother Blue said, you took it as good as any. He said, took better than anybody. I said, what are you going to do about it, Brother Blue? I mean, what if they say you're going to die tomorrow? What are you going to do? You're going to cry till tomorrow, just eat, drink, be merry, and die tomorrow. Best thing to do is enjoy the ride. Wouldn't you think? You understand tonight that the shadows don't eliminate God, and not only do they not eliminate God, they get more severe, but God's down in there. Amen. He was there. They were in there 70 years. What a mess. Shadows here are not places where the sun's blocked out. Shadows for us is when the S-O-N is blocked out. Amen. That's right. I found this, Brother Ken. I pray all the time. If you can pray without ceasing, I think I do that. All the time. I didn't learn that when I was a little boy. I learned that just the last 15 years maybe. That you everything, you pray about everything, and you walk with God. And I said, God, where are you? Where are you? And He said, I've told you over and over again, I'm here, I'm inside of you. You don't have to pray, Holy Spirit, come. He's already in there. You gotta just communicate with Him. He's in there. Amen. I mean, I really got messed up. Boy, I said, I want you to come. He said, you don't believe me. I said, I do believe you. We had an argument. And he said, I told you then I'll never leave you and never forsake you, and you don't believe what I said. And I said, I do believe what you said. And then I took my concordance and I looked it up. And over 20 times, Jeffrey, he said, I'm with you. I will not leave you. You come to the water, come to the flood, come to the fire. I'm not going to leave you. You pull through it. You're saved. You're God's man, God's woman, God's person. You're mine. Oh, buddy, you don't want to fool with God's people. I tell you, people take it in hand to buck a man of God. You are messing with fire, buddy. And you mess with a man of God. If he is a man of God, and that could be questioned today, we've got so many jacklegs. They're just looking for the light shining on them beads. They don't know all that struggle he had back yonder. Hey, and you don't get your sermons out of books. I don't know where in the world we ever started that. My pastor gave me a gold mine of nuggets. Old Mays Jackson sent out. As soon as I got called to preach, he handed me one of them. I bet I preached 20 of them. Or more of them. Oh, I didn't... It hurt me. It made me think I had to have somebody else's brain to preach. I said, how in the world did Matthew Henry write all them commentaries? He didn't have somebody else to preach. He said he didn't have a TV. Didn't have no amusements to go to. Didn't have a cell phone to get thumb tunnel on or something. He wasn't on Facebook. Puke book. To Facebook. If you're on it, I ain't mad at you, but I'm just telling you, you're messing with a mess. Amen. You know what he had? He had I don't know what he had. Probably some little old... Didn't have air conditioning. I don't know. Maybe it went in an old stone castle somewhere. Old wet, damp castle. Some scrolls. And I don't know what they had. When this King James Bible came along, you know, the Queen of England didn't like the most outstanding authority on manuscripts. She didn't like him. He lived in her kingdom. So they sent to Switzerland to get the fella. He's a visa. He sent back and I'm glad that you felt so confident in me, but you got the best man in the world in your kingdom. And she finally had to swallow it. He's a fundamental, backwoods, hard-nosed, independent, and she had to let him be the man, you know. That's how come you got a King James Bible. She had to do something she didn't want to do. I'm saying to you tonight, the shadows get deeper. And the deeper they go, the more you can find Him in the shadows. I hope you are listening to me. And the third thing, fourth thing I said is shadows are caused by things coming between me and God. I said that already. When I was praying and I'd find out, I pray all the time, and I'd find out that He'd get quiet. I'd say, why are you so quiet? He'd say, because you're doing something or thinking something I don't like for you to think. I said, well, I'll just quit then. If you knew Him like I know Him, you'd quit anything to know Him. And I'd quit, and he'd come back up next to me. He's always in me, but He'd raise up. He'd manifest Himself, and I'd hear His voice again. That woman right there has watched me go in that car drive or go in that recliner and lay down and at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and she'd come up out of that bed about 7:30, 8 o'clock, she'd say, how'd you do last night? I said, I did great. I got up about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and me and him been a-fooling around all this morning. Oh, He opened my eyes to see things that you'd never believe in that Bible. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And He's done it, buddy. I'm saying to you as a Christian tonight, oh my, you understand that wherever the hard times come, they all have a ministry. And that ministry is to drive you to Christ. Hey, listen, if your little unsaved life is just playing along and you're just playing with model trains in a toy shop of life, you're a fool, buddy. Amen. Someday you are going to face a coffin. And when you get in that coffin, buddy, the other side of you is going to be screaming, Lord, I wish I had another shot at it. Amen. That's exactly right. You need to give your heart to Christ tonight. Shadows have our ministry. They're designed by God to drive you to Himself. These people were in a mess. They had no temple. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a preacher. They had these old prophets preaching to them, and they hated them. I mean, Ezekiel was crazy. Jeremiah was about half crazy. Put on a pair of drawers and then took them 600 miles away and buried them on the side of Euphrates River. Came back home, and God said, wait a few months and go back and get them. And they was rotten. I mean, you say, what kind of man is that? It's just like him. Whatever God says is what you do. They're crazy men. They preach to them. God's trying to drive them to Himself. I'm telling you tonight, if you're saved, the shadows are God's design for you to bring you to Him. I watched that brother come to me on them crutches. He couldn't kick a volleyball. He can't hardly walk. I'm telling you what's done to him, oh. He's found the Lord in them shadows. They've deepened for him. And the deeper the shadows, the further he is, and the more you find him. They're designed to correct error in your life. That's what happened to them. To correct that old worship. They said, oh, God's in this temple. He ain't never going nowhere else. He's in Jerusalem. He ain't never going. Jeremiah said, you better give up, buddy. They're going to clean this place up. They said, you're a traitor. He ain't going to let this place go. His name's here forever. He ain't never going to. No, he's not going, buddy. About that time they loaded him up in a bunch of old wagons and hauled him across that desert, they say, you know, maybe we wasn't right about that. They hauled him off. What are you doing over there now? I'm finding out that I can find God without that building, without that high priest, without all them animals to throw on an altar. I can find God where there's a bunch of heathen that don't know anybody, don't know anything. I can find Him at Walmart or any other place. I can find Him anywhere in the middle of a horrible setup. I can find God. He'll be there. And so the shadows drove them to God. Corrected error. And they designed to reveal, let me say this, to you that are saved, and I don't know if I'll ever get this said like it ought to be said, but I'm just telling you that God reveals to you His deeper heart in them shadows. I'm telling you, listen. I don't know where it started with me, but I can remember a very critical moment. I was sitting at the camp. I've said it right here in this pulpit, I believe. Sitting at the camp one day, my children had broken the heart. Three of them, the one that didn't is right there. I tell you what, that kid right there has kept me and this lady from throwing in the towel, buddy. Well, I don't know if that's right, but it's pretty close. And I was sitting there just mully grubbing to God. And I said, God, don't you know how I feel? He gave me that verse out of Hebrews. He was touched in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And I said, I'm sorry I even brought it up, Lord. I know you know how I feel. I know that you know the pain that I feel. And I sat there for a few minutes just quietly, J.D., I didn't say anything to him, just knowing I should have never said what I did to him. And that spirit came over me and said, but are you touched with the feeling of my infirmities? And Brother Sammy, when I said to him, he said, he didn't have any infirmities. And a few minutes sitting there, he looked off in the far off somewhere world, and he said he learned obedience by the things he suffered, didn't he? I said, yeah, he did. Yeah, he learned. And then from that day to this, when my kids walked away, I heard him say, how often I would have gathered you. Now you know how I feel. Now you know how I feel. My children left me. I came to my own. They received me not. Now you know how I feel. I say, yes, Lord, I know. I deserve it and you don't. But I know how you felt. From that day to this, George, he's opened my eyes to see wondrous things. Deeper things. In the shadows. My friend lives in the shadows. Where do you want to go when you're off? To the shadows. What do you want to do when you got some idle time? I'm going to the shadows. I'm going in there where He lives. where he lives in the thick darkness. Oh, he's opened my eyes. I found treasures in the field. I found treasures in the field. Oh, I laid in there yesterday. Dave, a few days ago, he told me about that alabaster box. Oh, boy, what a truth. Oh, Lord. I remember when I broke mine. I remember when that was the last straw. I throwed it all down and said, "You're the only thing counts to me. You're all that I care about from this day on. I care nothing for guns, and I got them. I don't care nothing for money in the bank, and I got a little bit of that. I don't care if the deed is clear. I don't care if the car was free. It don't matter. It don't matter. All that matters is you." Found a treasure in the field. I'm saying, and listen, I don't know if I could say this in a way to make you that are lost understand that you're messing around playing a crazy, stupid game. When you could live in a kingdom where every bit of the work on you is glory with God. I mean, He'll take the hard times. I walked into Concord one day and Brother Sammy said, "Brother Wayne, you come and preach." I took my text out of Joel and I read the text. He said, "He'll restore the days that the palmer worm has eaten." That woman said, "When you read that text, that's all I needed. That's exactly, Jeffrey, what God wanted me to do. Come in there that day. I preached on God will give you back the days the palmer worm has eaten." And I didn't need to preach no more. That's all I need to preach. Just read that text. That woman went away. And she told my wife, she said, "I didn't need to hear no more. God gave me what I needed that day." Oh, in that deep shadows, that's where He is. Say, "Preacher, I feel alone." Well, you won't have to feel alone. If you'll get where I'm telling you, you won't have to be alone. He'll walk with you, talk with you. Stay closer to the brother when you need him. It doesn't matter. I'm taking on new ideas about this verse that said, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." Oh, tell Him when you're upset with Him. Hey, Jeremiah did. He said, "You've deceived me." God didn't even get upset with him. He just treated him good. You can tell God everything about your life. You can tell Him everything. And He'll take it. And He'll heal your pain. Heal your trouble. And you'll never be sorry that you got right with God. You'll never be sorry that you got right with God. Well, here's what I want to ask you to do, to be honest with you. If you're lost, what in the world are you doing? Ain't you got enough sense to know that you're playing a bad game? When you don't feel like praying, I'm going to ask you, you ever have a time you don't feel like praying? Huh? How many of you have said, "Lord, I don't feel like praying. What are you going to do about it?" And He changed you just like that. Nothing else changed. He just made you want to pray. How many times have you said, "I can't take no more," and you told Him that, and a few minutes you knew you could take some more? I watched her come to the end. She watched me come to the end. I mean, I'm talking about this world will kick you around, buddy. But Jesus won't kick you around. He lets them hard times come to bring you to Himself. And He'll make this thing right, buddy. He'll pay your bills. He'll take care of you. If you'll put Him first, He'll take care of you. Me and that woman, buddy, when we started tithing, I told that old boy, that Sunday school teacher, I said, "CJ, when I get this bill paid, I'm going to tithe." He said, "You had that bill with God before you ever had that credit card bill." And I, like, buddy, that was like getting kicked in the face of a mule. I went along about 2 or 3 months, and about that fall, I told her what he said. I said, "I'll tell you something, we ain't got the money to pay these bills." I said, "I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to see if he's right. I'm going to put the tithe in and see if I can see what he does." I put that tithe in, he paid them bills. It's that month. He didn't wait next year to do it. He paid that month. So about 2 months later, I said, "Honey, we're running pretty low, but we better pay them bills. We tithe next month." Now, I like never got that tithe caught up. I mean, I thought we was never going to get that baby caught up. And then so I said, "Well, he's proven himself to be true. Pressed down, shaken together, running over." And so I said, "We'll just go this way the rest of our life." And then one day I just said, "I like it so good, I'm going to double tithe. I'm just going to double tithe." I started double tithe. And then the day came when the windows of heaven opened. He paid every bill. Gave me vehicles. And kept money in my hip pocket. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, but maybe I am. It's pretty prosperous to belong to Jesus. I never knew anybody that went down the tubes trusting Him. No, He'll get you through. Bring you right through. And if you have hard times, all they are is to bring you to Him. Well, I think I'm wearing you out. Would you bow your head a minute? If you're lost, why do you stay in lost? Why are you staying lost? What are you getting out of being lost? What is your point? You could be a part of the kingdom that could preach. You could preach what I just preached. It's available to anybody. God first in your life. You still got an alabaster box, don't you? You still got a bunch of junk you like better than God. You're with Demas. It won't be long. You won't go on. You'll follow that stinking world and it'll send you down a bad road. I went to Atlanta one day. I was buying them used computers, commercial grade laptop computers, and we was refurbishing them and sending them and selling them. I went there one day as a little old boy. He was a genius on a computer. And I think his name was Greg or something like that. And I said, I started witnessing to him. And he said, I started telling him Jesus was coming. He quoted all that second coming scripture to me. He quoted all, just verbatim, out of a King James Bible. I said, son, what are you doing in this place? And he said, my grandpa was a preacher. And I learned all them verses in Bible school. I said, well, you better do something about it. He was young. I tell you, Brother Ken, he probably wasn't 22 years old. He could make a computer run upside down and backward. He was good. He'd redo one of them computers for me, and when he got them redone, we'd go resell them. So I picked up four or five of them and went home and sold them. Came back down, and I can't remember the boy's name, run that outfit. I came back, and I said, where's Greg? He said, oh, didn't you hear? He OD'd, went out of here on a cocaine trip, died and went to hell, quoting second coming scriptures out of Bible school. I'll tell you something, buddy, that lost life you're living is going to put you into hell, buddy. It'll come up on you when you're not looking. Somebody run a red light. A Mexican girl at home came out of a side street. It's on a video down there. The video was on the parking lot of a business. This Mexican girl came up out of that street flying. She didn't see the stop sign. Shot across 41. Car hit her, T-boned her right in the driver's side, and she went out to meet her maker, buddy. She didn't have one idea that her day was over. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man hath the power to tell when the hands will stop at later early hour. To lose your wealth is sad indeed. To lose your health is more. To lose your undying soul in a devil's hell there's nobody can restore. You know how many people died while I quoted that? If the last time I checked, it was about 200. If half of them were saved, that means 100 of them burning in hell grease pit right now. And you could be one of them. God's good grace has kept you alive so you can get to an altar. He's begging you. He's pleading with you, even in my voice, to get on an altar. Shuck all that junk that's kept you away from God. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Look up at me. I'll tell you what to do. I went up to Oceana, West Virginia. This old man there had a flea market. Had him a little garage sale. Went in there to witness. His stepdad and one of the men in the church. Said, why don't you go witness to my stepdad? Went in there and we talked a minute. His name was Woody. I said, Woody, what about getting saved? What about telling you about the Lord and getting saved? He said, you can read verses if you want to. You can tell plainly he didn't want to hear it. I said, you're not interested, are you? No. I said, well, I ain't going to read it to you then, but I'm going to give you the best advice anybody ever give you in this holler. I said, if I were you and God wasn't dealing my heart, I'd go to church 1 hour a week and I'd beg God to deal with me one more time before I went to hell. And you know what happened, Ken? He started going to church, to the church I preached that revival in. I preached to him several times. He sat back on that left side, about where these men are from Kentucky. He sat back there. His name was Woody. He's about 80 years old. And I'd preach, and God touched. And one night, the last time I saw him, he got up. And I said, he's coming. And he turned and went around like that. And I went back down that aisle and caught him. And I said, Woody, what about going to get saved tonight? He said, no, not tonight. Out the door he went. And he went to hell. I'll tell you what the advice is tonight. The advice is I'd walk down this aisle, you're too proud. Are you too proud? Are you too proud? Huh? Are you letting pride send you to burning hell? You're too proud to walk an aisle and let everybody see you? B.H. Carroll's the smartest mind a Baptist produced in probably the last 500 years. His mother begged him to go to church. He's a Methodist. B.H. Carroll went to a revival, a Methodist revival. And the preacher got up and said, if you're willing for God to work in your heart, why don't you come to this altar and tell God you're willing to let Him work in your heart? B.H. Carroll went to the altar. And his mother shouted. And he got up and stopped her and said, Mother, wait a minute. I'm not getting saved. I'm doing what the man said. I told God if He can get to me, here I am. And it wasn't just a few days. He got to him. And B.H. Carroll, the greatest mind that Baptists had produced in 500 years, got born again. Got saved. I'm telling you tonight, I went in a hospital. I hope it ain't born yet. I went in a hospital in Dalton, Georgia. A man there was so vile and wicked, I can't even name to you what he did in his family. In his family. He was in the hospital. And I went to him, Ted. And I said, Jack, if you had died, where'd you been? He said, I don't know. Don't care. It's like that. I said, well. I said, no sense reading. You know Bible. You're not bothered by it, are you? Not a bit. Not a bit. You bothered by anything? Not a bit. I said, will you let me pray that God will bother you? He said, I'd be glad for you to do it. Right there beside his bed. His granddaughter comes to my church right now. I prayed for God to convict him. Can't get saved without that. I went away. I preached in a revival. I come back the next week. And I said, how's Jack? He said, he's out of the hospital. I said, well, what's going on? They said, he got saved. I said, who went to him? They said, we don't know. Somebody from 11th Avenue went to him. So I went to his house and I took the old preacher where I took his place. And we went to his house and sat down. I said, Jack, heard you got saved. Yep, got saved. I said, who led you to the Lord? He said, I don't know. Somebody from 11th Avenue over in Dalton. I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think they get saved. You know, I don't believe everybody gets saved. I said, well, I'll tell you this one thing. If you got saved, you can't do what you used to do. Boy, straighten up. He said, it's worse than that. He said, you can't even think like you used to. I preached his funeral because he said, I'm willing for God to deal with me. I'm willing that God would deal with me. If you're lost and you ain't got enough sense to pray, just a dumb little prayer like that, I'm willing for God to work on me. If He'll work on me, here I am. I'll be willing for you to work on me. That means bring me under conviction. Wouldn't you think that'd be right? That's two men, I can tell you. One of them never did get convicted, and he went to hell. And the other fellow did get convicted, and I preached this funeral. As far as I know, he went to heaven on his own word. And his daughter said the same thing. He's changed. I want to ask you tonight. God's got you in trouble to get you to Him. Don't you understand that? Well, I'm in no trouble. You're in worse shape than you know then. You're in a bad way if you don't think you're in trouble. And you're lost. And if you're playing that mediocre stuff, if you're just unscrewing the lid on that alabaster and squirting a little stuff on Jesus every now and then, you ain't got nothing. I wouldn't have what you got for nothing. Buddy, I like the broken box and all of it poured on Him. And He'll take care of you if you do that. Now I'll ask you again, bow your head. I'm sorry, I preached twice. Lord, I praise You and thank You tonight for the liberty to say things. Are You going to be able to deal with them hearts tonight? If You can't, Lord, I feel like a failure. I try to do it for You. I want You to have freedom. I thought this morning You was looking for an entrance into this congregation. A way You could come and really do some work. Like You did last night around that piano, the tenderness that came, the hurt and the way we felt, the tender hearts and all those things that came. Oh, praying on this altar, things happening. God, tonight, oh, precious Lord, have I give You a place to get in? Have You been able to use my words or my spirit or something to find an entrance into this congregation and do a work? Is somebody just hanging back, are so cold and they don't know that the days are going. Teach us to number our days. The days are coming off one at a time. One day less of grace, one day less. Every day the chain link comes off, and day will come when the last link's gone. And it'll be over. And they won't even know it's coming. They won't even know. The rich man died and didn't even know, and he was carried. He was sent into hell, and hell he lifted up his eyes. I don't even believe it Lazarus knew. He just carried him to the bosom. Lord God, help us tonight. Help the saint to sell out, and help the sinner to get serious about what's going to come tomorrow. Pray in Jesus' name. Sister, come to the piano, please. And whoever's going to play, yeah, Miss Marilyn, I prayed for you. I sure do thank the Lord that you got well. And Barbara done so good this morning. Listen, we're doing this all for you. If you're cold in your heart, this is for you. If you drove all the way from Kentucky, why'd you come down here? How'd you get in this building? What do you mean? How did you get here? Is there an accident? Is there any such a thing as an accident? Let's stand together. Will you just give God one little bitty chance in your life? You're lost. And if you're saved, why don't you come and say, I want all of you I can get. I want the box broken. I want all the oil poured on you. Won't you come tonight and gather at this altar? Come on, Christian. Come on. You're just playing around. Your prayers are not getting answered. You know why? Because you're not close enough to Him. Come to Him and tell Him what you got in your mind. Will you come tonight? That's it, girls. Come on. You know, I don't know how it is, but God will find somebody to get in this congregation. He'll find somebody. Somebody's willing to say yes to Jesus. He'll find somebody who'll break down and come. Yeah, and you know, it's a lot of pressure when somebody starts walking that aisle, buddy. It's a magnet to it, pulls that other feller who wasn't thinking about it. And all of a sudden, now he does. I've been saved 60 years, about 2 months from now. 60 years. And I'm happier with Jesus today than I was 60 years ago. 60 years ago. He could never in them days bring into our heart what He's brought in this day. Oh, the joy that I feel, the glory, the song. I got a song in my heart because of Him. Why don't you come tonight? Won't you come? I dare you to give Him a shot at your life. He'll make you quit liking drugs. He'll make you quit liking smoking. I smoked 8 years and throwed them down and He took them away from me. I ain't bragging about what I've done. I'm telling you, He took it away from me. He took car racing. He took dog hunting. Squirrel hunting. Gun collecting. Took it all away. Took money loving, He took it away. All that matters is Jesus. Why don't you come tonight? Look at all these gathered. You know why they're on this altar? Because God found a tender heart He could bring in this altar. And that's all right there. They're all right here in this altar trying to pull you in this altar. Now, you don't tell me you're right with God. What's this going on inside of me? What's this feeling inside of me? A strange feeling. Somebody's almost persuaded to be a Christian. That one old feller told Paul, he said, I'll call you at a convenient season. He never did get one. He went crazy in the Lebanon mountains. In the mountains, it's not Lebanon, but them mountains, he went crazy. He's a crazy man. Slobbering, crying. He went crazy because the convenient season never came. Agrippa was almost persuaded. But almost ain't enough. Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. Kissed the Lord Jesus and went to hell. Because he refused. You better wake up, buddy, before you wake up in the wrong place. Why call you me Lord? Lord. And do not the things I say. Amen. I married to Tossie 55 years in December. 55 years ago, in December 24th, we walked an aisle together and said, I do. You know what? I love that girl. I love her more than she knows. Oh, yeah, I easily do that. Ask her if I love her. Huh? I don't do stuff that offends her. That's why I know you're not, a lot of you are not saved. You don't care to offend the Lord by the way you act. the way you dress, where you go, and what you say, what you do. It doesn't bother you to do the wrong things. You think God's pleased with it. You think because mom and daddy's going to heaven, you're going to heaven. Some crazy thing like that. You better go to the altar. Get your own religion. Amen. I don't know why I'm talking to you like this. I guess it's God wants me to. Let me ask you to do something. Look, church, I'm not trying to win no... Listen, I'm not running for election. Not running for election. Don't want to raise all that. Only thing that pleases a man of God, only thing, if he is a man of God, is the effect his message has on others. It's the only thing that counts. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to bow your head with me, please. I'm not trying to be bad, vulgar, bad. Is there anybody here would say, Brother Wayne, I'm almost persuaded to get in that aisle. I don't care where you're talking about, saved or to get right with God or whatever. I'm just almost. The Lord's really dealing with the heart. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I will say, I see that hand. That's all I will say. Is anybody like that tonight? Say, Preacher, pray for me because the stress is on me right now. I'm not talking about where you lost or saved. It doesn't matter where you lost or saved. But if that stress is on you right now, you feel Him tugging at you, would you slip that hand up? And I'll see it, and I'll let you know it, and you can put it down. Is there anybody like that? Are you telling me, yep, I see the hand. Put it down now. You put it down. Somebody will look around and see you. Anybody else raise a hand and say, Brother Wayne, the Lord's tugging at my heart. I don't know what it's about. Maybe it's I'm lost. Maybe I'm saved and I'm not right with God. But God's tugging at my heart. Pulling at my heart. Will you raise your hand? Is there someone else to raise a hand? Oh, it's a big thing now, church. One soul, He said, is worth more than the world. So we're really concerned about this. Is there another? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be, you're a chicken is what you are. You're a coward. You ain't got no gut. You got no backbone. Raise your hand up and admit what's going on. And face God. Maybe you know, I'll tell you something. I don't know where you feel this or not, but it don't hurt me a bit to raise my hand and tell God I'm a sorry, sorry saint. I'm a sorry excuse for a saint. I haven't loved like I ought to. I fooled around with Him. I fooled around and fooled around, and I don't know why in the world He'd even want to fool with a mess like me. And some folks think they're doing all right, and they got everything going on. I can't understand that. Well, I've done my best now. Is there anybody else who would raise a hand? Say, Brother Wayne, pray for me. I feel a tug on me. I feel, yep. Someone else? Yep, see that hand. God bless you. Y'all don't know how much that means to a man of God. Is it, you don't want to waste, you don't want to just holler at people. You're doing everything you can to pull them toward God. I mean, really, that's more than Jesus did. When that rich man walked away, let him walk away. But I'm telling you tonight, don't walk away. I'm begging you, don't walk away. How old do you get when God quits fooling with you? Well, you'll have to be way older than me, and I'm 73. You have to be way older than me. One day I was leading a prayer meeting. Listen, just keep on praying. Leading a prayer meeting at the Faith Baptist Camp. Then about 15 years ago, a preacher got saved in that prayer meeting. He'd been preaching 65 years. 65 years. He got born again in that prayer meeting. Don't tell me you don't need help. You can't get old enough not to need help. You can't get smart enough not to need help. Is there anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. Please pray for me. I feel Him pulling. That old man, if he hadn't admitted what happened to him, he'd have went to hell. He'd been in hell now because that man's dead. But he got saved. Preached 65 years. He's about 85 years old. Got born again. Gave $10,000 to Brother Allen's camp. Got born again. God just got his heart. Would you raise a hand? Let me pray for you before I quit. I just can't hardly quit, Brother Ken. I'm sorry. I see a hand. See a hand. I'm going to tell you something, young people. There's two or three kids raise their hand. I'm going to tell you something. That's a big deal. Don't you never be afraid, honey, of raising your hand. One of these days it'll be the real thing. Don't you never be afraid. Raise your hand and admit that God's dealing with you. We look for those days and pray for them to happen to you. Anybody else? Brother Sammy was preaching in a meeting, tent meeting. Man right there on the front row was his buddy. And God said, pressure was on, a lot of tension like it is now. And God said, say one word to him, he'll get saved. Brother Sammy said, no, I told him already I wouldn't. He come up the walked past the man and went on up the way and come back by him. Holy Ghost said, if you'll say one word to him, you'll get saved. And Brother Sammy said, I ain't going to do it. He said, I'm not going to do it. They got out of that meeting that night. Everybody went their way. Brother Sammy met the fellow down the way a few days later. He said, called his name. He said, what about getting saved? He said, no. He said, not right now. But he said, if I ever feel like I did in that tent meeting again, I'm going to get saved. Just a few days, though, he got killed. Went out to meet the Lord, lost and undone. Went to hell and burned because one man failed to mention and say a word to him. Oh, my, what a pressure. I'm sorry if it's offended you. You can come here to offend nobody. I'm telling you, buddy, it's a big... Listen, the other day we was at Nee Smith's old church, Joel Sims. Y'all look at me. I'm sorry. Was it Joel Sims? Brother Milby didn't preach. And Larry didn't preach. And everybody's crying, hugging. The lady got saved. So I come around to shake Larry's hand. And Larry was standing there. And I put my arms around him and hugged him. And he said, Brother Wayne, he's real tender and crying. He said, Brother Wayne, this is big business, isn't it? I said, yes, Brother Larry, it's big business. It's the biggest business, Ted, there is in the world. You can go to work tomorrow and get your arm tore off. It won't hurt you half as bad as going to hell with both arms. It don't matter. Listen, if your wife leaves you with all the bills and takes everything you got, it's not as bad as going to hell without Jesus. It's the worst thing that ever happened to you. Come on, brother. I've wore you out, but I've tried.